Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for joining us here at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I'm John Potter. It's live and local each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Our phone number, 884-9910. On the topic right now about the Nevada personalized license plates, what you can do, what you can't do, and the DMV being the DMV. Why do they want a man who has had the plate GOBK2CA go back to California? Why do they want him to return his plate back to them? Because despite the hundreds of Facebook comments that I just looked at who like the plate, hundreds literally, folks, were outvoted by one person who complained to a government agency about it. Let's go back a couple of decades. The state approved the, what is it, GOBK2CA plate. They approved it, right? They approved it decades ago, and it takes one complaint to take his plate away. I would bet that one person who complained is probably mad that he didn't think of it himself. So I say never surrender, sir, on this plate. You have paid extra for it every year. The DMV has had no problem collecting that money for it all this time. They had zero problem with it. Plus, you have to admit, it reflects a lot of what Nevadans are actually saying with the go back to California. I mean, they won't be so rude as to blurt it out. But as I said before, even the Californians who moved here and live here now don't want more Californians coming here, from my personal experience from living here most of my life. This man who owns the plate, he put it on his Facebook. He has 80,000 likes on Facebook and one dislike. So I think the community has spoken here. And more importantly, free speech is free speech. Here we go again, going back to this. Free speech is free speech. You can't nibble around the edges of that. It is what it is. Free means free without conditions. Offensive? The plate? Did they call it offensive? I don't know. I think they did. Offensive? If I work long enough on any plate, I could work up in my mind something offensive. I have that kind of mind. And you know what? I see a lot of bumper stickers a lot worse than that. Again, it's a free country. At least it's supposed to be. But here we are in a time when social media removes your comments and bans you if you don't walk in lockstep with what the government wants to say about things like vaccines or election fraud. They will ban you for a month from going on social media again for presenting an alternate viewpoint. In a lot of cases, that alternate viewpoint, in the case of vaccines, were partly right. And now they can't handle a license plate. Goodness. Yet again, government trying to control what we do. What about the people who have bumper stickers on their cars with the go back to California? Will they be told to remove them as well? You might laugh, but I can see this happening the way we're going. 884-9910.
Something else, John. Another yes. License plate story that made the news recently.
Oh, the Area 51?
The Area 51, where Reno resident Chris Sandoval purchased 7 years ago the Area 51 the Nevada license plate with Area 51 as his digits. Locals and visitors do poke fun at its lore, but Sandoval is the only one who owns the actual Area 51 license plate. There's just one problem. All of those novelty plates that tourists can buy have wreaked havoc on Chris's driving record. Within weeks of registering, traffic violations poured in. There was no conspiracy, but rather these tickets were coming from souvenir plates purchased at gift shops. part of one was actually he was questioned about a hit and run that wasn't even anywhere near the state of Nevada.
So these people are taking gift shop plates, mm-hmm. which apparently are the same size as the regular plate, and putting them on their vehicles?
You can put anything on the front of your vehicle. The back has to be your DMV plate. Well, and technically in Nevada, if your vehicle is outfitted with the screw holes or whatever, the mounting brackets for license plates, you're supposed to do your front and back plate with your registered plate.
You're right. I do.
Yeah.
Yes. The front license plates, I do see people put fancy little customized, personalized things.
Well, in states like California where red light cameras or traffic cameras are all the rage where they can ticket you. Yeah.
So it gets
the front of the plate and reads that and then sends him the ticket. He says he spent over $5,000 fighting things. And while obnoxious, one of the guys says, while obnoxious, this situation is not uncommon. You would be part of a prestigious club if you got that very unique plate, but be aware that things come with that.
So all these states with traffic cameras, and they see that plate, they're all saying, oh, there's that Area 51 driver again.
Or in fact, on the one hit and runs, a witness saw the license plate on the vehicle and reported that to the law enforcement investigating the hit and run, and that's how he got questioned there. So,
you know, I saw that story on Channel 4, had that story, and the guy who owns the actual Area 51 plate, I was so impressed with how he was laughing it off.
Yeah.
And he took it very well, even though he's been through the ringer on this. I mean, summons being sent to him for all these violations, and he has to call the government. Oh my gosh, you know what that's like. And he took it. That I love that guy's attitude.
Yeah. Channel 4 reported, if you think Sandoval has considered giving up the plate, think again. Despite being exhausting and expensive to defend against, so mm-hmm. many legal threats and false fines, the Area 51 plate isn't going anywhere so long as he has something to say about it.
And what's your take on the go back to California plate?
Overreach by DMV. Because when you apply for that plate, on part of the application for the plate, you actually have to tell them what it means. You actually have to write on the application what it means. So when they got it the first time, they knew exactly what it meant. And they approved it with that.
Right. And plus, I tell you what, you can take those numbers and letters and really make up anything. You know, I mean, but the thing is, there's no dirty word in this plate.
Right, exactly.
There's not even a hint of one. And sorry to say, folks, I would bet the DMV allows drag queen one. I bet they do.
Who knows?
Yeah. Me and the DMV, we go way back.
Oh, yeah. I'm just glad that they went to the 8-year license renewal.
Now, I don't mean to offend you, but you said you had a friend who works at the DMV, and
my cousin,
instantly John Potter spouts off about his issues with the DMV with my downsizing from 2 cars to 1 and not getting a registration refund.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday or Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you are the one man who defends a DMV, and I respect that.
Well, I defend it to the point where I can, you know, things I know that are factual, and I'll bring up if somebody's saying something that's non.
But Craig, they have this public information officer who spends his time talking about things like why they want this plate back, and they have meetings with staff on Mondays, every Monday, Craig, to talk about these offensive supposed license plates. And you go into the facility in Reno and all the service windows are empty, and you have people waiting outside at 4 o'clock in the morning to go in and get something done, and we have drivers driving around with no plates at all.
Yeah. Well, now one thing that DMV did do properly is they have opened up Wednesdays to walk-ins.
Yeah, but they took Saturdays away. Saturdays was a walk. Now Saturdays are appointment.
Yeah. And the reason...
And people work on Wednesdays.
What I found out part of the reason for this is because Wednesday turned out to be the day that the most no-shows showed up for appointments.
Okay. Well, government efficiency. I love it.
Exactly, right?
All right, my friend. Well, good talking to you about that. We have our next guest, which you graciously set up for us. In the studio, Funtime Theater,
yes.
Dan O'Connell. And you're involved with this, too.
I am. I've been with Funtime Theater now for 32 years.
What, are you an actor?
I am there. I'm the secretary on the board of directors, and I am also the technical director for
wow.
the theater.
I don't know where you found the find the time.
I don't sleep. That's it.
Yeah, you too. Huh?
All right.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Funtime Theater. Dan O'Connell. Folks, I never heard of Funtime Theater, but this sounds like, I was talking to him in the lobby, a blast if you want something to do, especially in Carson City. So we'll be back. Our phone number, as always, call on anything, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. FM News Talk time is 1017.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Yes, we have a lot of fun on Saturday morning. That's partly from you. Some of you are very good at that. And our phone lines are open at 884-9910. I'm John Potter. We'll get back to another very topical local topic. I have a few in mind. After we speak, one segment here with Dan O'Connell. He's with Funtime Theater. It was founded over 30 years ago by Bob and Kathy Easley. And over the years, along with the help of our very own engineer, Craig Moss, who has done everything from promotion to box office to even being the MC at Craig's an MC?
Hard to believe. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, he's hard to believe, but he's got a fantastic personality.
He's a bit of a ham.
Yes. And well, I have some of the corniest jokes at our dinner murder mysteries.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and you diss my joke. How dare you?
What's good about these performances, though, is you can recycle your jokes because the audience is different every time. So we get a little tired of hearing them, of course.
Well, it's not like radio where I just blow my great material and I can't use it again. It's a darn shame. So anyway, I personally have not heard of Funtime Theater. I know there are several theater groups around the Reno area. This is in Carson City. It's not like a theater per se. You go out, you do these public events, you do these murder mysteries, which I know people who just love that. They love to dress up.
Absolutely.
They love to play the part. And you're an actor yourself, aren't you?
If you could call it that, Craig, would you like to weigh in on that?
No, he does a fairly decent job. He's in about 80% of our productions.
So. And what's the latest production? What's going on now?
Well, right now we have coming up another train murder mystery. I can't remember the name of it because
The actual train.
It's on the Virginia and Truckee Railroad train.
Correct.
Tom Gray owns the whole thing, and he contracted with us to come out and do two shows a night on certain nights during the year. So I think we have two in July, two shows in August, two in September, I think, are what we've booked out
yeah.
so far.
August, September, October, and November.
Yeah, and November.
We did one on the 4th of July that was kind of centered around the 4th of July festivities up there. It was super fun. He's come up with some several ideas as far as we did a Judge Roy Bean themed show a couple of months ago. And this obviously helps me because I have to go back and watch some of these old movies that I've never seen so I can understand what he'd like to see. He's got us doing a Misfits
It sounds like everything you do involves the audience in a
yes.
big way.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it's the greatest part of every performance is the audience. They're there to have fun. Like you said, they dress up, especially if they know the theme kind of going into it. They go all out, and they spend the evening laughing at us and themselves because we are absolutely there to make fun of them, too.
Yeah, and here's part of this. People think dinner murder mystery, okay, you're going to have dinner and you watch people up on stage. No, We are totally interactive at the tables. People, our actors will come sit down with you. You actually have some suggestion questions to ask the cast members. You can interact as much or as little as you want.
They get to see the actual murder?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, right in front of their very eyes.
And sometimes we have been known, and I know Craig will back me up on this, we have been known to die in people's laps.
Yes.
Or while we're dying, mess up their hair or do a nose face plant into their lap during our deaths.
Yes, so, we have one actress who is very, very good at doing all the above.
Do you have the audience play a part of a character, or can they just be themselves trying to figure out the murder?
There's only one
actor in the group in the audience who is the actual murderer, so everybody else are just like observers, right?
Generally, we'll have a group of maybe three guys and three girls, and so we can generate all kinds of conflict between the three, you know, the six people. Okay. And so there's all this type of conflict going on. The audience is just sitting there kind of listening and asking questions, like Craig said. And then they're witnessing the fights that are happening between us and our other characters as we move around the room. Right. And we're talking trash. When I show up at your table, I'm talking trash about every one of the other actors because I've got conflict with every one of them.
I've never heard of a murder mystery on a train thing. I've seen it in movies and stuff, but never like in person. That's fun. That's outrageous.
Well, in fact, the one we did in February was Valentine's Day Massacre. Style.
Wow, really?
Yep.
Oh yeah. My God. It was hard to get all of the actors out of the room because we had nowhere to go after we all died in a massacre. So we just asked everyone to close their eyes and we jumped up and ran off. So. But then, of course, you know, after the murder happens, then we're asking questions to the people. What did you, you know, who died? How did they die? Who killed them? What was the motive? And then that's when their participation kind of gets ramped up a little bit. And some of their answers are very creative. I've even heard as much as, well, Bugs Bunny died and, you know, George Bush killed them. And so the audience is absolutely there to have a good time. And so yep. We're going to make fun of them, especially when they answer like that.
And the dinner murder mysteries and train mysteries are not the only thing we do. Coming up in October, the 7th and 8th and the 14th and 15th, those are both set, the first two full weekends, up in Virginia City, we do cemetery tours. It's called Voices from the Past at the Silver Terrace Cemetery. And that's a walking tour through the cemetery with actors portraying residents at their gravesite or very near their gravesite. We don't make them walk all the way back to the very back of the cemetery, so we bring the actor forward. But yeah, so it's we've been doing that now for, I think this is our 23rd season doing that.
No.
See, I've been to one of these, like what you're describing,
like
only
Chautauqua.
You guys take it a step further because the cemetery performance that I saw, it wasn't even in Reno, it was somewhere else. It was at night and the tour guide wore a cape and a top hat. And at night, he would take you to certain graves and tell the story of what happened to that person that caused their death and made it as spooky as possible. But you actually have characters representing these the dead people?
We average 13 to 15 characters, two of which are our tour guides, the Widow of the Silver Terrace and Thomas, an undertaker.
Dan was telling me that now this Virginia City Cemetery needs some help, and that's one reason you're doing this, because it's getting kind of torn apart, is it not?
Yeah, over the years it's been vandalized terribly.
Vandalized?
Yes.
Virginia City?
they've found headstones that were stolen. Yeah, they found headstones that were stolen from the cemetery, I think as far away as Indiana or Illinois or something like that, yeah.
How awful. And this ties in with that awful story about what people did 4th of July at Lake Tahoe with the 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 pounds of trash and dirty diapers everywhere piled up. You know it wasn't anybody local who would do that. But to deface or steal from the Virginia City Cemetery, Just horrendous. I have not heard of that.
It's unfortunate.
So you're raising a little money to rehab the Virginia City Cemetery at the same time.
Over the past, 20 plus years now, Candace and Cal and Judy and the whole gang up there from the Silver Terrace Cemetery Foundation, they have been they've been cleaning up. They've been fixing grave sites, cleaning grave sites. Families have been coming in and cleaning grave sites, fixing the fencing around. So, you know, the wrought iron fencing or the picket fencing, all these things that, just went by the wayside for the longest time. Everybody's in there. And I'd say I can't remember, Dan. Thomas tells us how many cemeteries. It's a collection of cemeteries. I think it's 13 different cemeteries, different groups, like the Masons, the Firemen's, the Catholic, like that.
Right.
So.
And again, those aren't the only people that visit the cemetery or that are in the cemetery. We even get occasionally visited by wild horses who will stroll through that. They're leaving their little calling cards everywhere. It's super neat. It's very informative, and it's really a fun performance. When I first got involved, I got a chance to listen to everyone's tale on some of those people lived horrible lives, and they worked themselves to death, and some of them died in the mines. And then when they asked me to be involved, I decided I wanted to kind of maybe be a little bit more funny. So, shocker, I play an obnoxious dead guy in the cemetery. So,
him and the widow of the Silver Terrace Cemetery are Dan's character just loves to surprise her and get her to break character during the show.
Do you do a good 30-second death scene? Oh, I would love that. Anyway,
very much alive during this.
Your next murder on a train event, is that the August 12th thing?
That's correct.
Okay, and, August 12th, you piqued a lot of interest out there right now. Right. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, so people can now, how can people get in on this? And you also have one September 2nd, October 7th, November 4th, murder on a train.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Our next event will be based around the movie The Misfits. I'm trying to put the pieces together now. I've got a pretty good idea. So,
and The Misfit is planning the script. So,
it's in my wheelhouse, Craig. You ought to know that by now. So, virginiatruckee.com is you could go for information on the events, such as dates.
Yeah, tickets too? Or
tickets, prices, tickets, absolutely.
For all the train shows that get you, we point you over there. And then for the cemetery tours, we point you to funtimetheater.com, which is our website. Just click on the ticket on the page, and it'll take you to our ticketing site.
And you do private hires. It says here, we will even help your boss meet an untimely demise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't want to hear about this.
We're here to help, John. We are absolutely here to help.
About this one. Dan, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Folks, again,
thanks, Craig.
VirginiaTruckee.com.
Thanks, Dan.
Get your tickets. All right. Super. Next guest coming up and much more local interesting topics. I got to talk about my oil change. I have questions about CPAP because I was prescribed that. And Consumers Reports came out with an issue on the best frozen pizza of all things. Anyway, a lot to get into. It's all live and it's all local. I'm John Potter. We're going to break for Fox News now. FM News Talk Time, 10:33.
Fox News and live FM talk radio, KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, and live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hello, friends. I do appreciate you tuning in. Saturday mornings, 9 to noon, it's all live and local at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Show's called The Weekend. In the studio for this segment, Reno's Andelin Family Farm. Cameron
Andelin.
Okay. He and his family own the farm. Cameron was just telling me, well, the farm has been in the family name for what, 45 years?
Yeah.
It was originally your parents' farm, and now it's become a local favorite. You yourself were an accountant and went back to the farm, you yeah. and your wife, right?
Yeah.
Which came I think back to farming. Living on the farm is probably more enjoyable than being an accountant, not to put
yeah. a little different dynamic.
So it started as just a family farm, right? I mean, or did you grow things and have cattle, and was yeah, it a working
yeah.
farm?
Yeah, so going back to the very beginning, my parents bought it from the Gasperi family in 1982, I believe. And so we grew up, I have five brothers, so six boys. Mom and dad were like, we need to have something to teach them to work and keep them out of trouble. And so we grew up on the farm learning from the Gasperis, and it was primarily cows and hay. And we would do some 4-H pigs and some random animals and emus and ostriches. My dad was into emus and ostriches. And it was great. We loved it. Learned a lot from the Gasperis, and which is an old-time Italian farming family in our community. And then I went off. We all went off to college. And the goal, you know, learn that you don't want to be a farmer your whole life and get a college education. So we all... I went to college and got an accounting degree and got an MBA and was kind of in the corporate world and working for a great local company here. And my wife and I had the opportunity to move back to the farm and raise our kids there. And so we decided to do that. And
what do you like most about living on the farm?
Oh, it's just great because you have the animals around and you just kind of feel like you're... Even though we're surrounded by the city, we're out in the country. So
I'm great. Envious. I really am. I mean, I have a huge backyard right now and three cats, and I just love being surrounded by this nature and these animals. In terms of animals, you still have many of them there?
Yeah, so we've got everything you can think of, from cows and chickens to pigs, goats, sheep, llamas, alpacas.
And is this for the people to enjoy, or are these working chickens where you have them laying eggs and things like that?
Yeah, we have eggs. We have probably 100 chickens that lay eggs, and we sell them to our customers. We have a customer list that comes and gets them. So
why did you decide to open up this farm to all of these events? You are a big tourist draw, especially during the fall. Halloween time, you have the Sunflower Festival. You have the Adventure Farm, the Corn Maze. You have Corn Creeper, Zombie Paintball. We'll figure out what that is a little bit later. But why open it up so much for the public?
So it started, my wife had the idea. She said, why don't we do a pumpkin patch? It'll be a good project for our kids. Yeah. And she said, it'll be good for our kids. Our kids at the time were like, oldest was maybe 12 down to 2. And it will be fun. And so we said, okay, we'll throw some seeds in the ground. And if they grow, if we have pumpkins, we'll open. And so we had a wagon ride, a couple goats, a llama, and some pumpkins our first year. And we're like, hey, that was fun. We didn't, and our family ran it. And we ran it, and we had like one part-time helper to help us on Saturdays.
And it just grew and grew.
Yeah. And then we're like, we didn't lose too much money. Let's do it again. And then the next year we broke even, and so we just did it, and then it started growing exponentially. When we added the corn maze, and it just kind of grew, and one Saturday I was like, just looking at all the people, and said, pulled my wife aside, I was like, this might become like really big. And so at the time I had been working as an accountant full time and doing the farm at nights and on weekends, and so we started looking at, we're going to have to, I need to quit my job and we'll jump all in on this farm thing.
What's your biggest crop, I should say? Pumpkins? Do you grow pumpkins?
Yeah, so we grow, this year we've got about 13, 14 acres of pumpkins under production. And then we have a lot of acres in sunflowers and corn.
I always wondered, what do you do with all the pumpkins that don't get sold? Because I drive by your place and I think, oh, there's no way you can sell all these.
It's great. We feed them to the cows and to the animals, the pigs.
They love it that much.
They love it. And so it's a benefit, because then we just, at the end, whatever we have left goes to the cows and pigs. And
you have a lot of pies, I'm sure. So you're not open all the time. You open mainly in the fall, right?
Yeah, so we have like seasonal festivals. In the spring, we have a tulip baby animal festival. In the summer, we have a sunflower festival. And then in the fall, we have the fall festival. But in between those festivals, we do smaller group programming. So like that you can do by appointment. So like tours, like today, we've got some tours going on and where you, it's like a behind the scenes tour of focused on the animals. It's great. We've got.
Can anybody be in this tour?
Yeah. Yeah. You just book it online at our website.
Wow.
And you bring your family or friends. And
now so, your next event is Sunflower Festival. What? And that's August 3rd. What is the Sunflower Festival? What's there?
Yeah, so we have about 8 acres of sunflowers, just a huge sunflower field, and you just go walking around. So the Sunflower Festival focuses on the sunflowers, and it's great to get pictures and pick sunflowers and then enjoy all the other things at the farm, like the animals, the food trailers. On Saturdays, we're going to have some live music at the festival. So it's just great. It's a great way to end the day. We'll be open till 8 p.m. And when it cools off, it's just beautiful to watch sunset.
I'm told you were voted in the top 10 pumpkin patches in the nation.
Yeah.
Oh, kudos.
We were surprised, but we're
somebody does that.
Huh? We're gladly happy to say that.
So the Adventure Farm sounds like a theme park to me. Okay, so you got the pumpkin patch, the animal exhibits, you have live music, you have fresh produce, you have barnyard activities, you have rides and games, corn maze, 5-acre corn maze.
Yeah.
Is that a tough corn maze or easy enough for me?
Well,
corn
if maze? We put like a game in there where you try to find checkpoints. This year's theme is on Nevada history of mining in Nevada. And so the picture, well, actually, I shouldn't have. That's like a surprise, a secret. Only listeners here will know. We usually have a big reveal in the summer of what the theme is this year. But anyways, we have games and in there checkpoints. And if you try to find them all, it's tough. But if you just want to get in the maze and find your way out as quick as possible, it's not that tough. Average time is.
And I've never heard of a haunted corn path, Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
Corn, scary. Is that scary?
At night in the dark, a corn.
Well, yeah,
path
it could look like
scary.
A guy with a thin face and some hair sticking on top.
No, imagine like a haunted house in a cornfield.
You That's have what? Your kids jumping out and scaring people?
Yeah, my kids have done it before, but we have this year we'll have about 40 actors. So this is a big deal. It's not. In fact, I was listening to your prior guest, and maybe we need to do a murder mystery out at the corn.
Oh, that'd be
farm.
Awesome.
You know, that would be super fun.
Oh, Craig, that's your call.
I was just going to say, I've got Cameron's name and number, so we can get it scheduled.
Craig's serious. He wants to be one of the murderees, I guess.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun to do as a special event, murder mystery on the farm type of event. But we're totally into the corn creepers is just super awesome.
Haunted corn
house.
Creepers.
Yeah, we say it's like the number one outdoor haunted attraction in Nevada.
Zombie paintball, you have these people get on buses and they end up fighting a zombie invasion on your farm?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this is like one of our most popular fall attractions, and we have these school buses that we retrofitted shooting paintball guns at our zombie actors.
It's not your typical family farm.
This is a wild ride, very family appropriate. We recommend 5 years as the minimum because they need to be able to operate the gun.
You give them paintball guns.
Yeah, they're mounted on the bus so they can't shoot their parent.
All right.
They just need to be able to pull the trigger and aim.
Okay. And so, I thought we'd talk about the animals at a nice farm, and here we go. Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah, no animals are targets on the zombie ride.
I would love to see your farm just for the animals' sake, and I'm so glad that you do these private tours for anybody who wants to go. I imagine you do the school tour thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
So what's your website so people can get in, at least on the Sunflower Festival, which is coming up soon?
Yeah, so go to andelinfamilyfarm.com and look for the link that says buy tickets now, and we actually just released our sunflower tickets this week. We encourage people to buy tickets online. You could buy them at the farm, but you'll save $2 per ticket when you buy them online.
AndelinFamilyFarm.com. It's been a pleasure. Very eye-opening. Cameron Andelin, a bit of showman in this farmer here. Pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, appreciate sir. That's awesome. Folks, phone number 884-9910. I'm John Potter. It's all live and local. Just me, myself, with Craig is up next, 884-9910. FM News Talk time is 1049.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back. Hello, Nevadans. Hope you had a great week. It's Saturday, and that means it's all live and local. I'm John Potter. Phone number 884-9910. Craig is in Carson City. I just caught the tail end of what you were telling me. Somebody's texting?
Yeah, somebody texted us asking us to please say the name of the family farm again, and they missed exactly where they're located. So it's Andelin Family Farms, A-N-D-E-L-I-N, Family Farm, and they are at 8100 Pyramid Way in Sparks, which if you know that area, it is just north of the Lazy Five Park, Regional Park. And when you see the sign for David James Boulevard pointing to your left, it's the next right, which is Andelin Drive, actually. A-N-D-E-L-I-N Drive.
I never did ask him where it was.
Well, that's why this listener asked.
I suck as a radio host. I'm glad you told me that. When you told me, people are texting, I'm thinking, it's probably bad news.
No. I mean, nobody's asked me to close your mic yet, so.
Well, if they were to say that, they wouldn't be calling and saying it directly to me. They'd be texting you.
Exactly.
What is the text number? Oh, it's the same
number.
775-884-9910. There you go, folks. If it's negative about me, you text him, okay?
And then I forward that text on to Jerry.
Right. As I said, hope you all had a good week. One of the highlights, if you can call it that, for me, got my truck's oil changed this week. What the heck happened to oil change prices? This is unbelievable. Anyway, what I drive, it's just a short bed GMC truck. It's about 7 years old. And this... I won't give the name of the place, but I went to two different places. One is mainly a car wash, but they also do oil changes, and the other is a well-known quick stop, fast oil change place. And both of them quoted me $100 something. The one that I got my oil changed at quoted me $139, and this was not like a specialist here. This was one of those quick... done in 20-minute places, $139. Now, they did say that this truck, boy, am I getting an education. They said this truck takes Dexos 2 oil. Not Dexos 1, folks. It's Dexos 2. Sounds expensive, and it really is. It's a synthetic. And they told me it's a European blend. Doesn't that, all right, sounds expensive, doesn't it? Why would GMC recommend this fancy oil? Honestly, basic 10W40 oil is not good enough for this pickup truck. And there's the DEF fluid to buy, too. That's a whole nother issue. I think more people should know about all of these diesel upcharges. At the time we bought the truck, I thought, at this time, the diesel gas is cheaper than the regular. It's actually when you add the DEF fluid and these special diesel oil changes, and also there are special diesel inspections
smog checks.
Smog checks, right. That costs a lot more, too. Listen, I love the truck. It's a good truck otherwise. It only makes this noise, and it's a noise that it only makes for me, because I've tried to demonstrate it at the shops so a mechanic can hear it, but it won't make this noise for a mechanic. And the truck later told me once, that's our special noise. I only make it for you. I'm getting off track, but anyway.
I wanted to tell you that you saying that special noise, I saw a story that a guy was driving his pickup truck and he kept hearing this whistling. Well, the mechanics couldn't figure out what it was, but they went underneath and looked, and one of the gentleman's friends had zip-tied a harmonica underneath, so it was blowing as he drove.
I never heard of such a thing. Would that would work, I guess.
Yes, it would.
Anyway, I just want to say one more thing. $139 for a oil change. I thought that the 10W-40 oil was good. And by the way, oil prices are pretty low now, aren't they? Why, with this inflation that we have, why would the oil changes go to over $100 if the price of oil has actually dropped over the past 2 years, I think? I'm John Potter, phone number 884-9910. We'll be back after Fox News. FM News Talk time is 10:58.